Hey, watch this episode on YouTube.
Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons.
Welcome back to Two Dudes Watch Cartoons, the podcast where two dudes, that is us, watch cartoons. My name is Evan.
And my name is Alex. And today we are joined by a very special third dude in the building today, from an island of his own, you might say. We are joined by Survivor 45 finalist Jake O'Kane. Jake, thank you so much for being here. How are you doing today?
Yo, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me, man. I'm hyped for this podcast because, you know, I might not be the two dudes, but I am a dude that likes cartoons. You know what I mean?
That's only qualification. So, how we got here was I was just following you on Twitter, and every other of your tweets, I was like, oh, this guy belongs on our podcast. And I think I literally sent you one of your own tweets. And I was like, please, when your season's over, you will enjoy our podcast. Please come on. And I'm glad we were finally able to make this work. We got a good one today, too. Mm-hmm. Jake, what? Mm-hmm. Jake, you introduce it. What are we covering today? What movie are we watching and talking
about? We're covering Pokemon 2000, the second Pokemon movie. I'm hyped for it. I'm a huge Pokemon fan, been a huge Pokemon fan my whole life. Play the games, like, even I played the card game at one point, like, not in a long, long time, but at one point. But this is an iconic movie.
Yeah, so I'm hyped to talk about dedication. It. So, the first thing to start off with, it feels like a prerequisite. I do want to talk a little bit about your Survivor 45 experience. First and foremost, this is not like any sort of secret, but my younger brother works on Survivor. He was a part of the Dream Team. And so he wanted me to tell you that while he has been out there, he has been like fans of some people and he likes watching them, but he has never enjoyed watching someone more than he enjoyed watching you. He was like, I don't know what it is about this guy. His personality is infectious. When he smiles, you want to smile. When he laughs, you start laughing. And I think that was just such a, like, honestly, do you feel that was the reception from your Survivor experience? Like, are most people very excited when you were coming on screen?
I mean, like, I was very surprised to get, like, the response that I did, because obviously, like, the game, I didn't win, so the game didn't end the way I wanted it to happen. But, you know, you don't know how you're going to be, like, received coming home. But I did get a huge positive response. And for it to be as positive as it was just an absolute blessing. And I was super satisfied with that. You know, you go out there, it's not something what you're looking for. Like, I went out there to, like, play. Like, the experience of my whole thing, the TV was kind of like secondary. Yeah. But for that to just have such a good response as it did for myself, like, that was truly heartwarming.
You know, it's hard because I've been on my TV myself, and my fan response was horribly, horribly, horribly negative. So I got a ton of hate. So what I think is so special is what you were able to do, and you can't teach this, but you're just able to get your personality and like, not to be cheesy, but like your heart through the screen and into people's rooms, which is not an easy thing to do. So I appreciated your journey. Like you said, there were a lot of blunders, but it was very fun. My favorite question to ask people is like, what is your favorite moment from the season that we didn't see from an audience perspective? What's something small, big, whatever have you? What's a thing you wish people had saw?
Oh, you know, like, just like the joking around, like the BSing you do with people. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, Drew, I'm bored. Tell us some philosophical stuff that we can talk about for the next 6 hours. And then he would say something philosophical that we talked about for the next 6 hours. Yeah. So I miss moments like that. You know what I mean? There's just no phone. It's an entirely different experience. You know, it's so cool because we're so connected now. Is, you know,
that's a good way to put it. I remember I got my phone back and it felt like really foreign in my hand. I was like, I don't know what to do with this right now. And so it's got to be like tenfold for you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was like almost afraid to open it. Like, I got handed back and I'm like, I don't even want to like turn it on.
What's gone wrong?
Like, at least that was my experience. I don't know about you.
In the past,
how long is the
days,
circle filled in?
So the circle, we were gone about like 2 weeks total. So I'm gone from America for 5-6 weeks, but the game itself was only 2 weeks.
Right, right.
So it's not nearly as bad.
Where's the film? The UK, right?
It was in the UK, but they've recently just moved to the US, so should make it easier for them. But yeah, so not nearly as bad, but so like just 2 weeks
nicer
without my
accommodations
phone.
Too.
Yeah, and the accommodations are way nicer. So I imagine for you guys, it's like camping on steroids. So yeah. I always love it. You know, you're actually, and sorry that you're not our first, but you're our second survivor, third placer to come on the podcast. We had Mr. Xander last year, or maybe 2 years ago now. He came on and he picked the most obscure movie you will ever in your life. He said, I want to cover Surf's Up, the animated penguin surfing movie with Shia LaBeouf. And me and Evan were like, what? We were like, why? What do you mean? And we watched it and
incredible.
We were like, incredible pick. We were like, underrated gem. So
wait, was it good?
It was. We were shook.
It's like wow. It's like a mockumentary.
It was mockumentary style, and it was just way funnier than we remember it being as children.
Mm-hmm.
It's mockumentary style?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's an office, like The Office.
It's very clever.
It's very clever.
That's like, because that came out like right around when The Office was really huge, right? Didn't it? Like what, around
exactly.
Like 2006 when they were taking off, right?
Yep. Wow. Yep. So the style was just in everyone's brain. But so we were confused by his pick, but by the end of it, we were like, bravo, sir, bravo.
It's going to be really unfortunate for our next third place survivor player.
They got a tough act to follow
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We picked a good one, though, Pokemon. Mm. So now I'm going to transition into my favorite all-time Pokemon question. I'm sure you're ready for it. Jake, what is your favorite Pokemon?
Oh, my God. I'm going to give a cop-out answer. I'm just going to do the Treecko line. Like the whole line.
Oh,
my first game was Pokemon Emerald. It was Pokemon Emerald. And I remember I think I was in second grade when I got my first Game Boy and like going around to my friends and being like, all right, who do I pick, guys? And everyone was like, get that Blaziken right there. And I'm like, no, but you're talking about the green one, right? And I was just like, everyone voted Blaziken. And I was just like, what you got? I'm like, it's the journey. It's the whole way through. Because like Treecko and Grovyle clearly body Torchic and Combusken. Yeah. It's like, I think Sceptile's comparable to Blaziken.
I really like Sceptile. I think Sceptile's great, especially when you add a mega evolution, it becomes a grass dragon all of a sudden.
Yep.
Boom. Sceptile's up there with the best of them. My hot take is I actually think the Hoenn starters are the strongest of all the starters.
This isn't a hot take. That's a fact.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a hot take at all. I think that's a fact. I will sit here and tell
all
you right
great.
Now.
There's no bad choices in them. No bad choices.
You cannot go wrong.
It's like it's splitting hairs in my opinion. So wonderful pick. Just to fill you in, mine would probably be Snorlax. It goes between Snorlax and Gengar. I change. Those are my two. And I think Evan, he's definitely a more casual Pokemon fan than you and I, but I think I'm going to pick Infernape for Evan. I think that's what you said last time.
I love Infernape's design. Yeah. I have a soft spot for the fire starters. Love Cyndaquil.
Yeah.
love Charmander, obviously. But interestingly enough about this movie, Pokemon 2000, this is before really we got to see those Pokemon, that region, the Johto region, in the TV show.
It's like a bridge. It's starting to bring in the Generation 2 of Pokemon, which is really interesting and fun to me. Both movies have done this. We talked about it in the last one. Donphan is like in the opening of Pokemon of Mewtwo, which, I'm going to have to ask you guys. I know we didn't assign this as homework for you, Jake, but I think Pokemon 2000 was better than Pokemon the first movie. What do you guys think?
I'm going to disagree.
I could not.
Sorry, go.
Yeah. I disagree as well. I watched this movie twice in the past week, and it could not retain my attention. And I don't know if it's just the nostalgic attachment to the first movie. And I did watch this 2000 when it came out in theaters, but I don't know. I think the story's a little more lacking. First one's much more compelling, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Jake, why do you say it? Same reasons or what are you thinking?
Similar reason to Evan. I feel like the narrative for the first movie, right? Like the whole culmination of the circumstances of one's birth are irrelevant. It's what you do with the gift of life that counts. Right? Where's that line?
Okay.
Where's that line?
All right. No, you guys have You've changed me. You've changed.
Okay,
me.
You sold me. And then like Ash, you're the chosen one. That's just it. That's just it. And it's cool. Ash, you're the chosen one. But like, why? No reason.
This is gonna be into my question. Yeah.
What does that entail? You know, what are the job qualifications?
She definitely randomly picked him, and then it just happened to work out. Oh my god, I just happened to pick the actual chosen one. So I agree. There were no metrics. There was no scale. Like, it wasn't because he was the most pure of heart. Like, best friendship. Nope. To Pokemon, there was none of that. So you guys actually convinced me. I just feel like I was so enthralled with this movie from start to finish. The battles, like,
yeah,
it was a lot more simple. I'm definitely gonna give you that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe because it was so simple, that's part of what I appreciated. I was like, yeah, this is easy to follow. Like the bad guy, I was expecting more from the bad guy. I was like, what's his motivation here? And he's like, I'm a collector. Never got anything past.
Nothing.
I love how they show him. Part of his villain origin story is he's got the Mew card that was a promotional item for the first movie.
That was
so
cool.
It, like, makes it feel more valuable to you. No resale.
That was
value.
Cool. That was cool. He's like, I started with a Mew card. I was like, I have that card too.
Yeah. I think he's really cool. Like, he's really cool. He's just not in it. It's where'd he go? And then, like, I was literally thinking, like, where'd he go? And then in the third act, you know, Ash is riding back on Lugia. He's like, all right, let me send out some of the more of these, like, black diamond things. And then, like, no resolution.
There was no resolution at all.
Like, he's just like, drat. You know what I mean? And that was kind of it.
Yeah, that is fair. I will give you guys this. You're bringing up all some really great points here as to why one is better. Okay. With Pokemon the year 2000, interesting note, in Japan, it released in 1999. Not the year 2000. So
was it close though? Was it close?
Now I gotta check. I gotta hold on.
Now I gotta.
I just had it up.
Released not July close. Japan, July 17th in Japan.
So they were preparing for the U.S. release date, which was in July of 2000.
Before we go much further, quick synopsis from Letterboxd. When Lawrence III's scheme to capture the legendary Pokemon Lugia upsets the balance of nature, it is up to Ash Ketchum and his friends to save the world. Tomato meter score of 19%, audience score of 56. And the 19% isn't that far off. It might be better than the first movie.
I think
got
it's better than the
Rotten
first
Tomatoes.
One. Yeah.
On Letterboxd, it's got a compiled score of 3.2 stars out of 5. I think financially it was a success, budget of $30 million, box office take of $133.9 million. So not unsuccessful, but didn't sort of escape the criticisms and poor ratings that its predecessor had.
Definitely understand that rating. I'm glad about the audience rating. That probably feels more in line with what the movie should be. So we're going to start off here. We are in the Orange Islands. If you remember the Pokemon anime, after Kanto, they go to the Orange Islands, and it is Ash, Misty, and then this is the first thing I want to talk about with you guys, Tracy. And Tracy is sort of in this movie. So when Pokemon left Kanto and went to the Orange Islands, they replaced Brock with Tracy. Now, as a kid, I didn't think much of this. They're adventuring. People come, people go. It happens. But as an adult, I'm like, why did this happen? Do you guys have any idea why they replaced Brock and then eventually brought Brock back?
In story? I don't know.
No, not in story. No.
He
like,
was chasing
like,
tail. I don't know.
He was. That's...
I feel like Tracy was gonna be the guy. They wanted Tracy to be the guy, but then he just did literally nothing for the comedy. Brock, like, okay, number one, Brock's funny. Like, Brock's funny just from like a TV perspective. Like the whole him, like Nurse Joy, Officer Jenny, and any woman that walks on screen other than Misty. All right, like there's the comedy there. But then the utility, additionally, of Brock is that Brock is a cook. Brock is basically the doctor on the team. Right? I know he becomes a doctor later in the anime, but like he takes care of everything. You know what I mean? I don't remember if Tracy did that, but I feel like they're like, Tracy has Meryl.
He was a drunk. They loved Meryl. They wanted Meryl to be the new Pikachu, I think, at one point. And so they were like, Tracy's got a Meryl. That's his Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a kid, I liked Tracy. I don't think I liked him as much as Brock, but I liked Tracy. But man, in this movie, he did nothing. He barely had any lines. He pulled a rope.
He pulled a rope. I was like thinking that.
I did some research because I was really curious what happened. What was the reason they replaced Brock with Tracy? And what they said is network execs thought as the globalization of Pokemon began, like it was really taking off, they were worried Brock would be a bad negative stereotype for Asians with the eyes. I'm not even kidding. Not even making this up. It has nothing to do with him being super horny all the time. It has nothing to do with that. They were simply weird. And Brock makes a cameo in this one. He's like, in the background of the phone call. And they eventually, when they realized that no one cared, they brought him back in the anime, which is more than you could say for Misty. Misty gets sidelined and eventually never comes back. But the original trio, the dynamic will never be beat, in my opinion.
No, I agree.
Tracy's too palatable. Like, Brock's that problematic uncle you have at Thanksgiving who says something a little off color, but he's, you know.
It gets a laugh because you're like, wow, wasn't expecting him to say that. My favorite thing with Brock is that he can, like, tell the differences between the Nurse Joys and Nurse Jennies. He's like, no, this is the one from Verulean City. Like, obviously not the one from Pewter Town.
Yeah, now that you say it, I feel like every single Ash side character has had, like, a quirk, right? Like, even if you go to, like...
Yes.
Like, I mean, the women are definitely, like, underdone in the series. But if you go to the male clerk, the males, Max jumping on Brock. Mm-hmm. Or then you got Shylin was like, he's a Pokemon.
He's good.
He had quirks. He had quirks. Like, he was eccentric.
He had a personality.
He could also cook, providing utility to the team. And then who was after Clement in science?
Clement was a scientist. Yeah, they always... And then Go is just like, I'm going to catch every Pokemon there is. They all have a personality, but Tracy, he draws Pokemon. They could have... This could have been the way they, like, made Pokemon snap. Maybe he did take photos of Pokemon, too. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know. You're right. He didn't have that personality, that utility for the team. What was he doing here? He could have not been in this movie, and the movie would have been exactly the same.
He could have not been in the series, and it doesn't do anything.
Exactly.
For as little as he's in the movie, I may have watched a pirated version and the audio cut out during one of his only lines while they're in the floating ship and he's like explaining something before Zapdos escapes and audio cuts out.
Evan's
like, damn.
That's one of his three lines and they cut
it. Could have gotten to know him so much better.
I remember like the coolest thing about him wasn't even him. It was like it was the fact that he had Meryl and then I remember his Scyther being like, I remember like the episode where he got Scyther. And his Scyther is like old man Scyther. And it's like battle ready Scyther. And I was like, oh, shoot, it's cool. And like, I remembered it because if you look at Scyther, like when they're on the boat in the beginning, like it's scarred up a little bit. You know, like they kept that from the anime.
He's like Logan of Scythers. Yes. Like at the end of his road, he's like, I'm done with all this.
That's a Pokemon movie I'd watch.
Yeah.
Old Ash.
Scyther awesome. Also super badass as a kid though. So Tracy, they were like, let's work in these new Pokemon that we want and not just have Onix and Zubat. So
do you think they're trying to set up Scizor?
They should
was
have because he was going into Johto. Yes. They were
that would have made a lot of sense.
You're so right. And they did they were like, okay, bring Brock back in. We miss his horny ass.
The exec was like, not horny enough.
We're not focusing on the beauty of these Nurse Joys nearly as often as I would like.
How's the audience gonna know?
Yeah.
You're supposed to like Jasmine, you know, or Whitney.
The execs were like, we have no one to point out how beautiful these women are.
It's just one writer in the writer's room who's like really desperate to bring Brock back. Super horny all the time.
All right, we'll do it. Fine.
It did make me realize, though, I'm watching One Piece for the first time in my life, and I was like, oh, man, Brock is just Sanji. He just cooks and loves women. That's all he does.
Pretty much.
So the movie, though, they roll up on this island. We don't know why they're going there, but they roll up to it. And
that's
they're...
the whole movie.
And they're having a festival. Happen. They act like it's an annual festival, but like, I don't think this is happening once a year. Maybe I'm wrong, but so.
It seems like a tourist. Like it's like
It seems frequent. Yeah.
It did feel like now that it's you say luau. That, I was fooled as a kid thinking it was a real thing, but it was 100% just like a luau for visitors.
Yeah. Can we just say something? They acted like we were supposed to know the person driving the boat. I had no idea who that was. Who was it? Like, I remember writing it down, like, her name was, like, Carol or something. I'm like, did she, like, drive the boat in the first movie or something? But I'm like, no one's driving a boat. Like, who is
maybe she was in the Orange Islands. I have no idea, but they did act like, they acted like we knew her. So they were like, yeah, thanks. But we're going to miss you. It's been so long. We're like, who the hell is this?
Yeah.
But they roll up. And this is my favorite part of the whole thing is there's one kid their age on the whole island, and she meets him, and it's not lost on me. She's really cool. She plays that ocarina, like Ocarina of Time. But it's not lost on me at all that her name is Melody, and she mm-hmm. plays music.
Yeah.
Do you think that's like trying to tie in the interest of Ocarina of Time, or like get those Google search keyword results?
Yeah. It probably was. I don't know when the Ocarina of Time was, but it probably was like, oh, kids love this shit. Throw it in there.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah.
So it came out. That's a great came out 98. November of 98.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it was in production. It was in production.
Is art.
Someone was playing that in the room, and they were like, throw this shit in there. Give Melody one of these.
I will say, you know what I will say as a positive for this movie? The soundtrack, I think, like the score is really good. Mm-hmm. It's
way
really
better than
good.
The first one. The first one had music that was so out of place that it takes you out of the moment. This music, you're right, was very good. That's the one.
When they roll up to the island, though, one of my favorite line in the movie is like a background, like right off joke. Someone in the background is saying, the punchline is, then she says, no, I have crabbies. Ha 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 ha. Like an SDI joke. I was like,
okay, this movie pushed the line.
I like that. Yes.
It was funny.
This movie was funny with the humor. They, four kids, animation or the dub was like, we're gonna go hard on these jokes.
Yep.
And I know they used it in the sense they were referring to like gender of people, but they said sex three times in the movie, and it was very jarring coming out of Team Rocket's mouth.
Yeah,
sure. I remember, and you know, kid, second bro. Grade, your ass is giggling like, oh, they said sex. You guys were talking about the boat driver and how like we don't know who that is, and this is maybe one of my criticisms with the entire movie is like none of the relationships, any of the interpersonal relationships matter whatsoever.
They're, at all,
other than the existing cast is like they just meet people and they're like, okay, now you got to go here, all right, taking a boat there, going here. Also, similar to the first movie, a central part of the plot is getting caught in a storm on a boat. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that's in the third movie.
That's so funny. It's true. Like, what I imagine someone was like, all right, they're adventuring. What's the most dangerous thing that could happen? They're like, storm in a boat.
Boats.
Yeah. Okay. That is a really funny point. But so they do pull up, and Melody's like, we're doing our festival, and like, you're going to be the chosen one this year. And there's like some weird tension, and Misty gets jealous. And like I said, Tracy could be taken out of this movie and it'd be exactly the same. Misty's almost there. If it weren't for like the hinges of jealousy and romance, Misty could also not be in this movie.
As soon as you meet Melody, did she say anything that wasn't related to that Melody, her dynamic? Because it's so dumb. Like it bothered me every time it came up. I'm like, I could literally tell you exactly what she's going to say every single time. Like there wasn't any nuance to it at all. And I understand it's Pokemon and it's the kids, but there was like, it was bad.
I agree.
Yeah.
Misty, I remember being in love with Misty as a kid. I was like, she's a strong, independent woman. And this whole movie was just her simping over Ash.
And she's probably the most useful person in this movie because she has all the water Pokemon. Did a water Pokemon even come out when they were on the dude's ship and they were trying? Did she send out her Pokemon at that time? Where was Staryu?
They sent them out at one point. It may have just been in the beginning. I don't know about, because I remember seeing a bunch of like Gyarados and Staryu, but they were like flocking from all over the earth to this event. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she sent out her Pokemon here, but she did at one point. She touted her water skills, and she did swim out and save Ash from the water at one point. So that was a good damsel in distress role reversal there.
Where was Staryu? Where was Staryu?
I love Staryu. I'm a big Staryu fan. Hi-ya! Like, hi-ya!
Yeah.
Like, that is such a funny Pokemon
no
sound.
No explanation.
We needed a couple more hi-yas in there for my liking.
So you guys said Misty leaves the show eventually. I feel like I vaguely recall it. Does she go to be the gym leader?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Mm, she's got to take up the mantle of her gym, which is understandable. It's the family business. Someone's got to do it. And that's when they meet May and Max, which the voice of Melody in this movie is the voice of Max in Pokemon Advancement, or when he comes and joins them in Hoenn. super interesting to me because the whole time I'm like, how do I know this voice? Whose voice is this? And it's just a voice they use later on. The voice actor is also known for playing Taya Gardner in Yu-Gi-Oh! If you ever watched that. So the whole time it's just pinging in my head. I was like, who is this voice?
So they're just like not experienced in playing useful characters at all?
No. Oh, yeah. Taya's the ultimate cheerleader. So is Max. Yeah.
Yeah.
Melody's got some good support here at the end with her. She's like a bard, I guess you could say.
Yep.
Oh, that's good. Evan and I are wannabe movie critics. We're also wannabe chefs.
We're all doing more cooking at home now. If you want to elevate your home cooking, you need nice tools to do it. Louis Kitchenware will get you there. They have beautiful stainless steel pans, nonstick bakeware, knives, all the stuff you need. Safe, high quality materials, constructed to last, made in the United States. Founded in Detroit.
Moving into my condo, we got hand-me-downs. So this new Louis Kitchenware has been great, and we love the discount. We want to share that with our listeners.
You can use code 2DUDES, that's T-W-O DUDES, at louiskitchenware.com, and that'll give you 10% off anything on the site.
Check out our link in bio.
Two dudes watch cartoons. Yeah.
So essentially, what starts to, we think, is like a local hokey custom village tradition, turns out they're like, we really need the chosen one now more than ever. So Lawrence the Third, which I absolutely love the only way to imply that he's evil and rich, they just add the third. And he's got and another thing in Pokemon that is just so great to me is they were like, this guy's so rich, he's just got a floating fucking fortress.
It's cool. It's cool. It's that thing is so sick. Cool. Like, it's like,
how do you get this off the ground? The U.S. government is shooting that down the minute they see it. I guess not in the Pokemon world. Excuse me. I got to remember where I'm at.
They don't have jurisdiction in Johto or wherever they're at.
Yeah. It is sick, though. As a kid, I remember being like, well, that is the peak of luxury. I need to get rich enough to have a flying fortress where I can capture Pokemon in.
Yes.
I think one of the great tragedies of this film, that might be a touch dramatic, but is that it sets up the first couple minutes, set up a pretty intriguing story to unfold, and then just it's like super paint by numbers. They don't go any further into the mythology of the three birds. They just have their own little islands they roost on, and then they're gonna fight, and we don't know why they're fighting.
Do not upset the balance of fire, ice, and lightning.
Yeah, but it's this whole movie is just like a chase the MacGuffin the whole time.
Which is your favorite, right, Evan?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Can we all agree that Slow King was probably the best part?
Yeah.
Slow King is the best part.
He killed every line. Okay, look.
Every line.
One plus, I'm putting myself back in my six-year-old brain watching this movie in the year 2000. This movie has the highest number count of talking Pokemon, and Slow King being the coolest one of them all. Huge plus in my book. Two, Slow King is a new Pokemon we've never seen, and I love Slow Bro. I really think Slow King should just be the third evolution. It's really kind of bogus, in my opinion. Third,
is he a different Pokemon?
He's a split evolution line. You can do Slow Poke into Slow King, which... He's so cool. He's got a crown and he just talks and he's all there's like a weird number of Pokemon that they love to capitalize that are just super lazy. And I'm like all about that. I don't know why. There's like the Slowbro, Snorlax, Slaking. Yeah. They love it. It's a great trope. And and then just like the fights. Like we haven't gotten into the legendary birds, but when they're all beefing, I'm that's on the edge of my seat the whole time.
And Buki is really cool. Like, Buki is just a great thing to get you hyped for, like, the next games, right? Because it just looks...
Oh, Evan had it ready to go! That is sick.
Bad investment. I didn't love this movie.
How is that a bad investment? That seems like a very good investment.
He's kidding. Yeah, that is... Lugia is the cool... So, what I love about this, and I guess this is a fine time to ask, this introduces us to the three legendary birds, Articuno, Moltres, Zapdos. And it's like, Lugia is the king of them all. You don't think they could have done one Ho-Ho cameo? Like, he's in the mix somewhere here. What's his role in all this?
He started this.
He did start this in the very first episode of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
They should have, when the skies cleared, he should have just, like, been flying at the end over the clear skies in a rainbow. Missed opportunity. Put me in
missed
the writer's
opportunity.
Room.
This wasn't planned, right? Like, I get, like, Lugia's, like, the you know, he's the boss of the birds, and then you have the actual bird that's the boss of the beasts. And, like... I just feel like there is no way that this was planned, because then you go on to Pokemon the third movie and like they're just like Entei's the guy, and then you get Entei's you like play those now. Games and you're like, oh, they're all kind of the same, but it's like that's not true though, because I just saw Entei stop out Shaza, you know, like. But like I just don't think it's planned. Like it's because Hoenn would not have been Firefly if that was planned out, right? Because Moltres and Hoenn would not have the same typing. Like it was definitely just a thing where they're we did this for Pokemon 2000. Shit, we need Hoenn to be.
They're like Hoenn's our other
like,
one.
Like Lugia's here. Yeah, we need Hoenn to like try to get here. You know what I mean?
You're so right. You're so right. And I think this is really dumb too. Lugia to me, and it's just because of this movie. It's all because of the writing. Lugia
to
me
is the Loch Ness monster.
Well, yeah, he's kind of the Loch Ness monster. Why is he psychic flying? How does he not have a water typing in his bones? I don't get it. It's fine. It is what it is.
Is he one of those that in game could learn surf and fly?
I bet you he could. Yeah. I would imagine.
What was your guys' strategy? Would you load a Pokemon in your party up with those?
HM Slave, baby. HM Slave. Yeah. It's the only way to do it. If you want a competitive team, you better be doing that. There are sometimes I like force myself, because I play Pokemon games quite regularly on reruns. I force myself. I'm like, okay, I have to incorporate the HMs into like my normal team. Like, I'll set, like, self rules to it. Because, hell yeah, I'm grabbing, like, a freaking ferret, even though I do love ferret, or centret, whatever it's called. I just teach it they can learn surf, even. Like, if you... Surf, to me, is a good HM, though, where, like, you should teach that to a water Pokemon.
Yeah.
Fly, also. I actually think Fly is another one that should be in your party, because it's a unique... Miss you one turn, hit you the next turn. So those are like two. Strength is another one I'm fine with being in my team. The rest of them, though, get them the fuck out of here.
Yeah, cut Rock Smash. Get rid of it. Rock Flash, Climb was dumb, too.
Rock Climb was all right. It was just so unneeded, in my opinion.
It's like, why? Like,
same with Waterfall. Like, couldn't this just be Surf?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand.
Dude, in Gold and Silver, didn't you have to do Surf
and Waterfall
and Whirlpool?
And Whirlpool. Like, it's stupid. It's stupid. So you in Gold and Silver, you almost need two HM slaves. You need a water one.
Yeah.
And you need just like a regular one.
Lugia literally learns all of them. Yeah. Like I'm looking at Lugia's page back, like Gold and Silver, Lugia.
Yeah.
Waterfall, Whirlpool, Strength, Surf, Fly.
And maybe part of the reason I like this movie so much is I think Lugia could be my favorite legendary of them all.
Yeah.
He's just so cool. Wow. His voice was a little not what I expected in the movie. It came out of nowhere.
Intense.
I was like, whoa, okay. This is weird. But it was.
You are the chosen one.
It wasn't even that it was too intense. It was kind of sensual. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I was like. I was like, he's whispering in Ash's ear psychically, and I'm uncomfortable watching it.
I think Pokemon severely misplayed Lugia, right? Because Lugia came in, and Lugia is so strong. Like, Lugia looks cool. Lugia is an amazingly designed Pokemon.
Agreed.
Like, it's sleek. You're like, that is powerful. Like,
hand wings.
The hand wings is sick. This thing is like Pokemon Jesus, right? And like, straight up. But then, like, I'm looking at, like, you know, Pokemon now, and I'm like, I don't give a shit about Lugia anymore. Like, really? You know what I mean? Like, what's it done in the past 20 years?
Lugia
needs
got
to
a
come
great
back,
point.
You know? Like, we got, like, Mewtwo's gotten updates. Mewtwo's gotten
Mewtwo's
different stuff.
Yeah.
Give me
Lugia
something to
Hoenn
in Lugia. Like, I think you could do something with Hoenn. Make it, like, a fairy type. Give, like, do something with Lugia. Give it, like,
language.
A dragon something. You know what I mean? There's
do you make Hoenn fire fairy? There's no fire fairy types. That could be good.
I think that would be perfect. And then, like, what would you do for, like, Lugia could be dragon psychic. You know what
Lugia
I mean? It
should
could
be dragon psychic.
I think so as well.
Big old hand.
And it's like it should be
fighting
throwing
type.
Fists.
Dragon fighting. Dragon ancient Lugia is just like big hands.
He's literally like square up.
What's going on?
Oh my god. He pulls up. He's like, you birds fighting again? Oh, that's good. Okay. So I agree. I think the missed opportunity with Lugia, it is on par with me. It's like a Mewtwo, and maybe it's just because they're the title Pokemon of the first two movies.
Yeah.
But I like really equate the two in my head. So my next question for the room. There's no wrong answers. Of the three birds, which one's your favorite?
I think Zapdos.
Great pick.
Was the coolest of, you know, of those three.
Yeah. Jake?
You're just sweet.
Back in the day, I would have said Articuno, but like when Pokemon Go came out, I was Team Instinct, so I was like Zapdos at that time.
Yeah, I get that. Mm. Both good picks, but you're both wrong. It's Moltres! Come on!
No, it's not, dude. What?
Moltres is so sick!
World? In what world, dude?
He's a literal flying bird. His wings are flames. Oh,
dude. Zapdos is the Guy Fieri of birds, dude.
It's the Guy Fieri of birds.
Awesome.
Zapdos is sick, though. Zapdos would be my second pick. I also actually think I was Team Instinct back in the day on Pokemon Go. Mm. So that's funny. But I just love watching Moltres fly. It's so beautiful and majestic. There's no wrong answer.
You were going to say the new ones? The new
Moltres. I don't think...
new Moltres, I'm with you.
Yes, the new Moltres is...
Moltres.
Yeah, so in Sword and Shield, I really like when they do this. They update old Pokemon to their new forms. And so Articuno is psychic flying. Zapdos is still going to be Evan's favorite because it's fighting flying. It's a bird
Zapdos
that kicks.
Sick.
Zapdos is sick in the new ones. But the new Moltres is just gorgeous. It's dark flying. And it's just... I've never seen a Pokemon look like it. So maybe I'm taking that into account. I'll be honest. Maybe because as a kid, I don't think I picked Moltres. I think I picked Zapdos as a kid.
I feel like new Moltres is like we let a fifth grader design it and then had a professional come in and just made it look good. It's like it's awesome. You know what I mean? It's like because, you know, like people like I feel like Pokemon nowadays, it's like they're created and like some of them are really cool.
Yeah.
And like I think there's some great modern day Pokemon designs. Like I'm not a Gen 1 or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like Moltres was just like. What fifth grader designed this? And I'm like totally into it. And I mean this with the utmost respect. Like, it's just so badass.
Yeah.
It's perfect. They were like, how can we make this cooler?
This
like,
looks,
yes.
Someone just took original legendary birds and put them into ChatGPT and said, make it more Moltres.
Yes.
More Moltres. So I just kept doing
That's funny. You would like the Zapdos bird, Evan, though, because it runs around and it kicks
it looks
people.
Awesome.
Or are you looking at him? Yeah, okay, cool.
It looks like it looks like it could be an evolution of Dodrio.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
So I've hated Dodrio for many, many years, but I started playing him in Pokemon Unite, and I was like, kind of love Dodrio now.
Or whatever it's called.
Yeah, he's got Tri-Attack.
Yeah.
It's been slept on. Dodrio's been slept on big time. Because, like, it's a...
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a sick design, personally.
It
like,
is.
I play Dodrio in runs of games they play Kanto.
See, and I haven't, like, and I'm going to have to in the future now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can learn fly, which is useful. You need a Pokemon that can fly.
Yeah.
It's wet wings. It really makes it.
That's the funny... No, it's so fast. It just runs and it gains speed. I'm imagining it's using two of its heads as wings.
They explain it in Johto. It in Johto.
Okay. Well, what do they do?
Faulkner in the anime has one.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how is this a flying type? It doesn't even have wings.
And like, and it's just like, well, it jumps so high, Ash. And you know, it's a flying type now.
That's great. No, it's a bird. It's a bird, man.
Yeah, it's a bird.
One of my favorite things is when you do see Ash like forget things he knows about Pokemon canonically.
Oh my god.
Like when he's like, someone's like, shows him Treecko. This is Treecko. He's like, is this a water type? And you're like, dude, come on, use your brain.
You fucking had one. Like, it's like, all right, like maybe Brock had one.
Yeah.
And you know, I know he didn't use him that much. But when he had one.
Yeah.
Like, you had one of these.
Oh. Yeah. Ash. Perpetually 10. Can you believe he retired this last year?
Is that like a...
Honestly, makes you sad.
A Timmy Turner, like, Fairly Odd Parents thing? He wished he was eternally...
He must have. On Jirachi, he made the wish. He said, I wish it to be 10 years old forever.
Okay, hear me out. This is my pitch for whatever you call this upgraded legendary bird for Lugia. Give that fucker four wings, four hand wings, and like fist bandages on him because he's a fighting type.
He wants the fighting type so badly on it. All right, you sold me, Evan. You got your new Lugia. Yeah.
Do you make that thing fairy fighting?
Yeah.
You make that thing fairy fighting.
Yep. I'm into it. You guys have sold me. You've sold me. That is funny. That's good. And then in the movie, though, it's very simple. It's not like there's a whole lot of depth here. Ash has to go to each of these islands as Lawrence the Third is, once again, in both Pokemon movies, someone has like smarter than a Pokeball technology is what I like to call it, where like Mewtwo was just auto catching every Pokemon in his Pokeballs. Yeah. And Lawrence the Third was like, I'm going to use magnets or whatever. I don't know what he's like.
Yeah.
And he was able to catch everything. It was, it was like, why is everyone not using this?
Mm-hmm. It's because he's rich.
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 This was another one of my qualms with the movie. Is like, at no point does Ash really stand in direct opposition of Lawrence the Third. He just happens to be in the same place at the same time. he never like takes that stand. It's like, hey, you should stop. I don't know.
Lawrence isn't even that upset when he loses.
Yeah,
like, he's not even that mad.
He just looks at his
Mew
card.
He finds his Mew card, and he's like,
"Whatever,
all's right in the world. I'm still rich. Yeah,
I can rebuild my
I'm
fortune.
Still, yeah, I'm still rich. Not upset. Like, seemingly not upset. And a huge investment is just blown to bits
his
behind him.
Sky Fortress is destroyed, and he's like, on to the next one.
Yep.
Oh, that is funny.
I didn't know his name. I didn't know his name till this podcast.
Well,
you said Lawrence the Third, and I was like, "Oh, okay." That was.
I don't think they said it. It's only because I'm reading it. I'm reading it online. He's Lawrence the Third. I do not know. I'm with you, Jake, because when I read it, I go, "I didn't know his name was Lawrence." I go, "Oh, it's Lawrence the Third. Excuse me." Like, he corrected me almost. So I don't know he said it, but he was just a nameless villain. And like, for that Sky Fortress, he had no employees there. Like, was he running that thing on his own? The whole thing didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
No. It was cool, though.
Yeah,
it was
cool.
Sick, though.
He doesn't have any
motivation. That was one of the better parts of the movie.
Yeah.
I agree.
He doesn't really have a motivation other than wanting to get Lugia.
I'm a collector.
Yeah. Ash doesn't have a motivation. He's just being told where to go by Melody. Nobody
by
has motivation.
By a old poem.
Yeah. There's
so
there's no driving, propelling thing.
Ash gets told he's the chosen one, and Melody was like, yeah, that was all fake. And then they recite the poem, and they were like, and when this happens, the world will turn to Ash, which I remember as a kid being mind blown. What a pun. What a great play on words. I was like
it's like when you
and
piece together that the legendary birds are uno, dos, tres.
Yeah.
How good would it have been if like Misty's side like thing for the movie was her being like, his name's Ash. There's no way it means he's the chosen one. They're talking about literal Ash coming from destruction and mayhem.
She's like,
guys. Like, if that was like the plot line, that would have been really funny.
It's literal
isn't
destruction
she the one that
at Ash.
Points it out at the end. Or
she's the
she,
one that's
like
turns
him?
To Ash. Yeah. She's the one that points it out to him because she loves him.
Loves Ash. Now, why is it Ash? No reason. It just is.
No reason. In Pokemon the movie, you're right. His friendship with Pikachu was the reason they all get saved. Was Mewtwo had never seen a bond between human and Pokemon like this. Who knows why he's the chosen one here?
I want to point out a plot hole.
Yeah.
When Professor Oak is talking to the news about why the world is going to go to shit if like the birds are like upset. Or whatever. They're like, he's like, he starts going into like National Geographic or like just becomes some kind of geologist in like hydrothermal dynamics or something. He's like, yeah, so like ice is doing this thing and fire is doing this thing. And then you have electricity that's like over here and then you have different amounts, disaster. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, no, that, yeah. Right.
Well, the best
is right.
He explained it so well with the fire and ice. And the whole time I was like, where's the lightning coming? And he just drew a yellow circle around the current. And I was like, oh, of course, now it's supercharged.
It's together.
Oh.
No.
But so the best part of that is they're on this helicopter heading towards the event of the whole world destruction. And I'm like, man, how did Ash's mom get on there? And then the news reporter's like, and who are you, ma'am? And I was like, yeah, the same question I did.
There was no reason for them to be in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, Oak didn't have to be there at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I'm the government of
Kanto
or the Orange
Professor
Islands
Oak.
Or whatever. I'm like, this guy is a doctor at a zoo. Why am I calling? You know what I mean? It's like, you're like,
and,
like if the world was going to shit, you can revive one person in history to fix it. You're not reviving Charles Darwin. You know what I mean? Like, he's not the guy
we
you
need
call,
Darwin.
That's what they did here.
For this weather phenomenon disaster. Yeah. What's even funnier is I saw like a meme recently where it was like, oh, hi, I'm Professor Oak. I've dedicated my whole entire life to studying Pokemon. There's 151 Pokemon. And then they're like, oh, just kidding. There's 200 Pokemon. And now it's like, oh, just kidding. There's over 1,000. I'm not very good at my job. So like, not only is he a zoologist, he's not even
he's
that good at what he does.
Do you think like there was like a follow-up question that we didn't see? And they're like, Professor Oak, we actually saw this one and you said there was only 151. One. He's like, oh yeah, I just left that one out.
Fake news.
I think it was like super relevant and like controlled the seas.
Yeah. Yeah, what about this one that was in the sky? No, don't worry about him. He's recorded.
There's an invasion of Pokemon at the border.
Y'all just talking about Lugia?
Yeah.
And he's been hiding at the bottom of the
ocean.
He's been hiding at the bottom of the ocean.
So yeah, it's 152. I just don't tell people it's 152, but I knew that.
I knew that, guys.
And then Ash is like, what about this Don fan? He's like, I knew about that one too, Ash. Oh my God, leave me alone.
It's like, it just looks over at Misty and Togepi. What the fuck is that?
The Togepi, literally, he's like, I've never seen one of these in my life.
It's that Simpsons episode where Marge teaches Lisa piano, but she's like, you just have to stay one lesson ahead. Professor Oak is learning as it comes. I don't know. Just the fact that you can turn a movie about a turf war between the three legendary birds so bland and uninteresting is really remarkable to me. It's such a letdown.
Yeah, they never explain why, when Moltres is gone, Zapdos is like, my island now, you son of a bitch.
The coolest part. Zapdos is just like, I don't see no Articuno out here. I don't see no Moltres here.
It's my island. My island, I guess.
Zapdos going to take over the world?
Zapdos was like, okay, now that these birds are gone, I'm king. And so what was really funny is when he does this is Pikachu sends out the tiniest little thunderbolt to hit Zapdos, and then Zapdos just hits him back. And then eventually now they're communicating through this lightning bolt. And Meowth can translate electricity into English for us. Thank God.
Thank God.
What a talented cat. Yeah. But, you know, we'd miss so much of the plot without Meowth there. So I thought this was an interesting way. We've never seen Pokemon communicate via electric shocks before, but that just goes to the shocking nature of Zapdos, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Zapdos also probably had the worst, noise.
Cry.
You cry?
Yeah.
Awful.
Hold up. What did you guys think was, like, this might be a little diversion. What did you guys think was the funniest line?
Oh, no. This is perfect. Yeah. I know mine.
What did you guys think was the funniest line? I know mine as well.
Okay.
I'll offer
a second one because I said the Krabby's one earlier.
The Krabby.
Evan did love the Krabby's one.
Ash going, chosen
one. That was a good one.
I feel more the frozen one.
There it is. That was beautiful. That's comedy gold because he literally was like, all right, I'm off. I'm going to go save the world. Cut two. He goes, chosen one. Well, I'm more like the frozen one.
And absolutely no one helping him.
And no one.
Absolutely no. The world is going to end. But you know what? I think he's got it. He's the chosen.
He's got it.
You got it, dude.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Yeah.
I thought the funniest line, I forget what was said to set it up. They're like, Ash, like, how do you, like, it was like right after, like, Misty, oh, the world will turn to Ash. And he's, I forget what exactly was said to set it up. And they're like, Ash, what are you thinking right now? He's like, kind of hoping my name was Bob. And I was just like,
I kind of wish my Bob was moment.
And I'm like, there's no way this was the translation, right? Like, this was an entirely American joke. Not like substitute Japanese name,
Bob.
But like, they're Bob. Like, some American came up with that joke, and it's just so blatantly obvious. Like, it made me laugh. Yeah. I was like,
It's a great translation joke because you're not expecting it at all. He goes, kind of wish my name was Bob right now. So the chosen one, frozen one's pretty good. Bob is also hilarious. Mine is probably at the very end when Team Rocket come up, and they're like, oh, we helped save the world. Oh, that's good. Oh, but we didn't get Pikachu. That's bad. Oh, but we did do this. That's good. That's bad. And they're like, oh, but we'll just steal some money. And James goes, that's good. Or is that bad? And I was like, dude, Team Rocket are located so carrying the show comedically. The other great one is Jesse goes, all right, if things are going to get ugly, let's try Weezing. Whoa, why the dig at my man Weezing?
Catching strays out of here.
Oh my God.
It's funny.
Was Zabok there?
They try him after. They try him one at a time for whatever. Okay. You know, the power of two Pokemon clearly wouldn't be as good as trying him one at a time. Classic villain strategy. Yeah.
And like, we all know that Snorlax has Hyper Beam. Like, where was that?
He didn't use Snorlax. And that's what pissed me off is I know Ash has the Snorlax, but maybe he's with Oak. Maybe he's whatever. They showed him. He popped out of his Pokeball at the end. He was there twice. Snorlax would have been so helpful on so many of these things.
Additionally, when Ash is going across the ice, where was Lapras? It's literally established in the Orange Islands that Lapras is literally faster on ice than it is in the water.
Yeah.
Pretty early on in the Orange Islands, I'm pretty sure.
Lapras, unfortunately, would have solved every issue they had in this movie.
Every single one.
Yeah. So they were like, Lapras is doing Lapras things right now. The other funniest part to me, and this is not one of a line, because there's a ton of really funny lines in the movie, but it's when they are going to the ice island and everything's frozen over, and he's sledding, and Charizard's pulling, but then also Squirtle and Bulbasaur are pulling, and Pikachu's sitting in the fucking sled. And I was like, yo, how does Squirtle and Bulbasaur
the first thing that happens, like the ice comes up or something gets blasted, Charizard comes back. I think that's the one you leave out, like,
right,
Squirtle and Bulbasaur and Pikachu are sitting there chilling, and Charizard, no, you're good, dude, you can't handle this,
get back in here. No, you're so right. There's a lot of questionable decisions. I don't know how Ash ever becomes a Pokemon master, because man, is he dumb sometimes.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Your strongest Pokemon at seasonally. Dumb move.
Wait, can we talk about the boat that they treated like a plane? Oh. How the boat got up a mountain because it had a sail?
And then she whips up the sail and they were like, I didn't know this could sail on land if you know how. And Melody just starts sailing up the island.
Yeah,
she's done this before.
As a kid, I was like, makes sense to me if the wind's strong enough. That bottom of that boat is fucking destroyed going up there.
Yeah. So
funny.
I wonder if either of you can explain this part to me. The three birds break out of the Sky Fortress and immediately gang up on Lugia. Why?
Trying to stop the fighting.
Once Dude, we was coming for its turf.
Okay.
Yeah, Lugia,
I think it was a turf one more
Lugia
than anything.
Is like, everyone go back to their own islands. The birds are like, no, these are my three islands now.
Okay. All right.
So this is kind of like a gang war, and Lugia was the police, and
yes.
They were just all like...
100%. I was thinking it was like mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you're fighting amongst your siblings, and then mom steps in, and you're like, get out of here, mom, we're fine. People are bleeding, stabbing each other, and we're like, we'll settle it ourselves. I was reading on Wikipedia, before we get to the end of this movie, because there's, like we said, not a ton here. I was reading, this movie was up for, Stinker's Worst Movie of the Year Award, and it lost to Digimon.
Wait, watch Digimon movie though.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Bad.
Yeah.
The
first US one, Digimon the movie.
Theatrical release.
Also came out the year 2000.
The
so it's
one.
Yes.
They fight Diabormon.
It's a mess of a movie, but we covered it. We had a good time though. We had a good time
it's
talking about
movie.
It. Evan loved it. And so it's funny because you say Pokemon Lost sounds like a bad thing, but it's good it didn't win the Stinker's Bad Movie of the Year Award. Do you guys think they should bring back the Stinker's Bad Movie of the Year Award?
No, because I'm just imagining like the wave of BO that hits you when you walk into that ceremony. Like, who is organizing, who's attending the Stinker's Bad Movie Award?
It ended in 2006, so it didn't man, but it started in 1978. Wow, I'm learning a lot here. I didn't know that. Okay. They called it the remake or sequel that nobody was clamoring for, which it is not attuned to the Pokemon craze that was going on at the time.
Yeah.
No,
kids were asking. I was begging. I wanted a Lugia card. Like, they gave us a Mew one. I felt kind of robbed. I didn't get one, honestly.
Yeah.
Do you guys hear about the political significance of this, of the song of
no.
from this movie?
No, tell me what happened.
I only knew because I'm like a big Jon Stewart fan, and I know Jon Stewart roasted it back in the day. So I tried to look up the clip yesterday, but I couldn't find it. I know it exists somewhere, but I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for this movie now. And Herman Cain, famously back in 2011, quoted the main song from this movie, The Power of One. Performed by Donna Summer. And I like forget what happened, but like he quoted it. And then Jon Stewart just rips him. It was an amazing time.
I do vaguely remember this now that you say that. That is really funny. When what do you think is that worse? Herman Cain doing that or Hillary saying, let's Pokemon go
Pokemon
to the
go.
Polls?
I think Hillary, because Herman Cain at least had the decency to try and play it off like it wasn't from Pokemon.
You think so? That's more okay? Yeah. Wow, Jake, is it weird that Pokemon made its way into politics before it ever did Survivor? How did that happen?
Wow.
We've had two seasons in a row, though, of Pokemon mentions on Survivor. You think we could go 3 for 3?
I would hope so. One of the biggest disappointments from my season was not the fact that I lost, is that everyone else got a Pokemon reference other than me.
Yeah, like, no, they didn't. Even D was talking about Pokemon. I was like,
he got something.
God damn.
And like, Jeff is just sitting there acting like he knows exactly what she's talking about. He might. I don't know how big of a Pokemon fan Jeff is.
I promise you, Jeff has no clue. He calls them Pokemons.
He pulls a Mew card out of his cargo pants pocket.
He's like, I'm a collector. You didn't know? Oh, that's good. That's funny. Oh.
Next season, there's going to be 3 Castaway Islands or Exile Islands where you have to go collect
Moltres,
crystals
or
whatever.
I love the crystals too, though. I think it's something about like the hand. Like, I want a Pokeball, but then also I was like, I want to hold one of these fucking crystals Ash has.
Oh,
right now.
Yeah.
Just,
yep.
I want to hold it in my hands, feel what it feels like.
Yep.
Yeah. But okay, yeah, the movie ends. I mean, Ash gets the 3 crystals. Melody sings the song. It does something to Lugia, and the war stops.
Does it resuscitate him? Because doesn't
Lugia
admit defeat? He falls into the water. I forgot how to swim, I guess.
I forgot how to swim.
It's kind of a
forgot how to swim.
But yeah, it all works out in the end, I guess.
Yeah, it was the ocarina, and it was, you know, the friendships we made along the way, I think. Never see Melody or her people again.
You know the most unrealistic thing about
what?
Pokemon movies 1 and 2?
What?
Ash doesn't even try to slip a little Pokeball on Lugia while he's riding him.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Try no. this real quick.
No.
Yeah.
No, check out the inside. It's pretty cool.
I think that's supposed to be like he's different
it's
than other trainers.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not after the fame, the clout, the power. He's in it for the friendships of Pokemon.
Not to catch them all.
Yeah.
Not to be able
actively not catching them all.
Yeah, that is true. He actively is not trying to catch them all.
Like what in the original Kanto, what does he catch? Like 8?
Yes, it's not many. It's not
I know
many.
He catches
at all.
A couple more.
Yeah.
Then in later ones, but like he catches like
his Pokedex.
You
want to
count like the different evolutions?
Off.
No, his Pokedex is not great. Oak was like, man, I gave you one job and you are doing pretty bad. Pretty, that, pretty bad.
That's why Oak only knows the 151. He picks the worst kids. To go
He's
out
like, my kids aren't getting me the right info. What the fuck?
Like, Oak, this is a job.
So, maybe like he comes back. Oh my god, like he comes back just being like, I gave you a free Pokemon, a free handheld computer, and Squirtle's been sitting here being a Squirtle for the last 1,000 episodes.
Yeah. Well, you didn't think to evolve this guy? That is one thing that bugs me is Ash's Pokemon are so strong. Why don't they evolve? Pikachu, I understand, needs the stone, but like Squirtle is taking on people in the Elite Four. Like, he should be evolved.
Yeah. Is Charizard one of the few?
Yeah.
One of
It's probably 1 to 2 Pokemon a season he fully evolves.
He did
or
really
not a
good
season,
in the Sinnoh one.
Sinnoh,
in the Sinnoh one, he did a lot.
He starts getting. I mean,
outside of that,
one thing I do appreciate about the Pokemon anime is if you look at it from a macro sense, he does actually improve as the series goes on. His win rate is pretty trash to begin with, and he starts getting better and better.
Yeah.
He learns things that he like takes on, and so. He comes in second a bunch before he actually becomes a champion of a region. And then when he becomes the champion after that, then he becomes a Pokemon master of the world in the Master's
Did
tournament.
You guys watch like that fight? Like
I,
that final fight? Where
I just watched
becomes,
the fights.
Like,
yeah, 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 yeah. I
the
watched
world.
The fights.
Like, I don't know. I didn't watch the series either, but like, dude, it's like Pikachu versus Charizard. And it's like, damn, like they put some money behind this fight.
Yeah, if you didn't know already, you'd be like, oh shit, this is Ash's finale. This is one of the best Pokemon fights I've ever seen. And it's between like 2 of the classic flagship Pokemon of the series.
Yeah.
So it's a great fight to watch. It's really good. The whole thing, you know, we should have seen that Ash was retiring because he was catching all-time Pokemon. He had a Gengar this season. Yeah. He had a Dragonite. He had a Lucario. Like, oh, shit. Ash's team is stacked right now. You're like, these are all my favorite Pokemon.
Yeah, they gave him like a 1 resident new Pokemon in Farfetch'd.
Yep.
The
Sirfetch'd. He's got the big
the
sword.
Sirfetch'd.
Yeah,
yeah,
I love it.
Love that guy.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. But so, I mean, Ash ends this movie, and the other great thing, to your guys' point, he didn't learn anything.
Didn't get memory wiped this time.
Why would he?
Yeah, but there was no lesson. What did he didn't take away from this? Man, I need to treat my mom better or something. Like, there was nothing.
There was no message in this.
There was no
message. There's some weird, you could maybe imply something environmental.
Like destiny? Oh, yeah. Maybe, oh, yeah. Balance, protect the environment.
But dude, they really leave all stones unturned in this movie.
Well, that's not true, because that's the Herman Cain clearly proved that false, right?
Yeah, apologies.
Excuse us.
Sorry, Herman.
Herman Cain picked up where Pokemon 2000 left off. He continued the legacy all these years later. Oh, Lugia shedding a tear at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
I will say, Slowking with the fourth wall break at the end.
Oh,
Slowking's the best part of the movie. Everyone knows what you're about, guys.
Everyone's.
Or whatever he says, I forget.
Yeah. It's great. It is so good. I think Team Rocket also breaks the wall at some point. They were like, double trouble. And Ash is like, I'm going to have to skip that movie or whatever. And they're like,
Yeah.
So it's good. It's fun. It's clever. Like I said, this is not. I'm really glad I rewatched it now. Like, I don't know when I would have watched it again. I had a fun time. But, like, I'm not clamoring to throw it back on in a couple weeks again. I had a good time. No. I had my fill. And I feel like I got my Pokemon fix for the weekend.
If you need to record a podcast remotely, Riverside.fm is the place to do it. Alex and I have been making Two Dudes Watch Cartoons remotely across states, pretty much across the continental U.S. for 3 years now. We've tried several things, and this is what works best, honestly.
Zoom turned out terrible. We used a couple other ones that we paid for that turned out terrible.
You're looking at the interface right now. I think I'm doing the screen record correctly.
Riverside has made doing this podcast as easy as possible. Riverside FM.
Head to the link in our bio to get started. That's riverside.fm.
Today.
It was worse than I remember, to be honest.
That's what we're here
totally.
For. This is
it
what we like to talk about.
To be honest.
For sure.
Yeah, that's Evan. I think Evan probably feels a bit of the same way.
Yeah.
Or you watched it live too, you said?
I watched it back in the day as a kid. And it definitely strikes me as a movie that is better served as a nostalgic memory than one to revisit. Because there's not much at all. I think we should take a look at a couple Letterboxd reviews, and while
Let's
we're reading through a couple of these, Jake, we're gonna look at these, and then we're gonna kind of go through our closing thoughts
closing
on the movie
thoughts.
And give it, you know, a 1 to 5 star rating. First one,
you start us off, Evan.
Yeah, this is a 1.5 star review by David Lunch. Jake, you might like this. He says it's good to see Articuno getting work. He is just a bluebird.
That's good. I also have 1.5 stars here from John. I made my mom go see this when I was a child, and I apologized formally today.
I can't imagine watching this as a parent not knowing what Pokemon is, because there's that. Kudos to parents who took their children to see this.
Yeah, because this is not like a Shrek where you're watching and you're like, oh, I'm kind of enjoying it. This is funny. Like, this, you just tuned out. Cell phone. Parents would be on their cell phones if they had them back in the day.
You know they're getting to the sex, like the line about sex, the sexes, and like parents are like, fuck, now I gotta go explain
now
what
I gotta
that
talk
is.
With their fucking...
I now draw know. The line between like the action and like the sexes, you know what I mean?
Hey, animals, these birds fighting, totally fine. Don't say sex.
Yeah, I now know why my dad slept through so many movies in the theaters as a kid. This one is actually a pretty generous score. It's 5 stars. If you think about it, this movie is kind of the original Angry Birds. <That's
good. laughs> Ooh, that's good.
Was that a good movie, though? Did you guys watch that?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, because I feel like on paper I'd rather see this. Yeah.
I would bet it's better than this movie.
Half star. Turns out being 8 years old makes movies really good.
It's true. That's true.
That's about where I land, I think, for the my thoughts on this movie.
Start us off.
I think, you know, the Rotten Tomatoes score, the audience and critics score, gets it right. This is not that fun of a movie. It's cool to see Lugia in action. It would be even cooler to know why any of those actions are happening, what's behind that. It'd be cool to have like some plot and motivation packaged into this, but you know, I'm hopeful that Pokemon the third movie is better than as I remember. Yeah, because I remember loving that.
I love the third movie. Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. I haven't revisited. See, what's really nice about this that we're doing, and granted, we're doing it over a long course of time, but I have not seen these since I was young. I have like such fond memories of them from when I was young, and I watched them all the time, but I didn't like revisit them in college or like even like I never got around to watching them again, and so it's been fun doing that. But so yeah, you can finish your thoughts, Evan.
That's it. Yeah, I was pretty disappointed with this movie. I can't even pontificate on why this movie is bad. It's just so nothing. This movie was so and so I will give it a 2 stars, and that feels generous out of 5.
That feels good. I didn't even think you'd get there. So, all right, I'll go over my closing thoughts, then we'll let Jake finish this off here. For me, while it definitely did not hold up to my 6-year-old standards, I still enjoyed the ride. I definitely was disappointed because, like Evan said, there's just not anything here for this movie. I think if you look at this as a longer episode of Pokemon, it's brilliant. It's great. It's brilliant. Awesome. It's just a long episode, and it's great. But as a movie, there's really not a whole lot there, where it's not like it was short for time. Like, they could have added more of the lore, why, just simple things that I think would have contributed. Even making it an environmental message, I think, actually, like, if you lean into that more, I really think could have helped the movie. So while I enjoyed the birds, Lugia, the fighting, the jokes, I had a good time watching it. It is not like a movie where I'm sitting here praising it as cinematic masterpiece. So much like Evan, I am going to be giving it 2.5 stars, and that feels pretty generous also.
Yeah, in my honestly, this movie was worse than I remembered it, to be honest. Like, I remember, like, being a kid and, like, thinking about the first couple movies and being distinctly, it's like, okay, Lugia is really cool. Like, we compare the title Pokemon, Lugia is probably the top.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the movie itself goes, I remember always wanting to watch the first one and the third one. And even as a kid, like, in my mind, like, yeah, you get the birds fighting and they're all, like, blasting beams at each other and stuff. Like, there's no Pokemon battles. Like, that was something I really like about the first one, is, like, you got the Pokemon battles, they're going up against each other, Charizard versus Charizard, Mew versus Mewtwo. Or if you go to the third movie, like, Charizard versus Entei, or, like, Bampi just tosses Onix somewhere in there. And it's, like, you get that those Pokemon moments. And, like, even at the beginning of the movie, it's, like, if you go to the first or third movie, there's a Pokemon battle at the beginning.
Yeah, there wasn't
so
in
So it's,
this
like,
one.
It... Like, I remember even as a kid being like, it felt like those parts lacking. Yeah. Now, I do think that this movie is, if I'm remembering correctly, and I haven't seen the other ones in a while, is more funny than the other Pokemon movies.
I agree.
I would say, like, the dub really tried to, like, are they hilarious jokes? No, but it's like Pokemon cheese.
They
and
catch
it's solid
you off.
Pokemon cheese.
I call them translation jokes. Yeah. An American writer had to be like, well, I could do something funny right here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I would say at the end of the day, it's a 2. Like, it's like, it's a Pokemon 2, probably like a movie 1, you know? Like,
yeah.
No, that makes sense.
It's and then you're like, I was just like, shit, I was kind of disappointed. You know what I mean? It's like, you want it to be better than it actually is, because it does have that grand scale.
It does.
The scale is cool.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think more we're talking about this, though, no Pokemon battles hurts. I'm a battle guy, so... I totally agree with what you're saying. I think what also always disappointed me as a kid was this is not where you find Moltres, Zapdos, and Articuno in the games.
Yeah.
Like in Kanto, they're all spread out in different locations. And I'm different like, caves. Where are these islands that I was told I needed to go to? So that would always disappoint me too as a fan of the games. Cause I guess the Mewtwo one doesn't necessarily follow that either. Like, there's not an island, but, like, wasn't rewriting the whole map of Pokemon, I feel like, to make your movie work. So,
stickler for geography.
I am. I'm a stickler.
And the song. This theme song was worse. They play We All Live in a Pokemon World, which is the Orange Islands theme song.
It's worse than the actual one from the show.
It wasn't as good. I noticed they don't improve upon it. I had to go listen to the original one because I was like, I thought this was a banger, and the original is a banger. Mm-hmm. This version they did was not the banging version. You're right.
No.
Jake, when you're right, you're right.
It is a pretty impressive, not as impressive as the first movie's soundtrack. They've got The Power of One by Donna Summer.
The soundtrack was great.
They got Dream Street, which was like a boy band. They've got Weird Al Yankovic, the B-52s, O-Town, another boy band. I think that's maybe it, but not as stacked as the first movie, but you know, they're recognizable.
The first one had a wild soundtrack, but it was so out of place comparatively. This one really flowed a lot better. Mm-hmm. Okay. Couple of general Pokemon questions I want to wrap up here with. What's your favorite Pokemon game, Jake?
Biasing Emeralds. But if I'm trying to take biases out, as a game, I think Pokemon Black and White, Black 2 and White 2 are like top tier Pokemon games. Like, especially the story continuation from one to the other.
Yeah.
But, like, I think both of their standalone stories are really good.
Okay.
I think it's like an adequate level of difficulty. And I think the Pokemon that you can get in both games are top tier, even though the status suck. I'm not going to sit here and say they're good status. I'm not, but they're great games.
Okay. You addressed my concern. I'm not a fan of the starters in Gen Black and White there, but those rest of those points are really good. I would always say I feel like mine are Heart Gold, Soul Silver. So maybe that's partly why I love this. I just love Johto. This is like the introduction to Johto. So no wrong answers there. No wrong answers. Okay, this is a fun one. We got your favorite Pokemon. If you were a gym leader, what type of Pokemon, what Pokemon type you choosing?
Oh, dude. I always said grass type, but after fire making on Survivor, I feel like, does that like lock me into being on fire? Does that lock me in?
Yes. Yeah, it should.
I feel like I'm a little locked in, and I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? So I do fire.
I agree. I'm not going to lie. I know what the show was showing us was a lot of trip and falls, if you will. I thought you were winning. I really thought you were winning, Jake. And when you won fire, I was like, he's coming in here. He's going to convince them. Like the fire, I know fire really skews everyone's perspective on who's good and who does what going into the final three. But I was just like, this is just what Jake needed. The cherry on top of his story. And you know what? I'll say it. That jury robbed you. They did. I was ready for you to win, Jake. Yeah. Fire type. You earned it.
I'll take it.
What's your favorite fire Pokemon
Austin
then?
Austin and Diagrite.
No, I'm not. I love Austin and Diagrite also.
Blaziken.
Yeah, great. Blaziken. That's a great one. That's your ace.
Blaziken's so good.
Yeah.
Those like just Blaziken?
Yeah.
In the anime, Charizard fighting Blaziken, they're like, yeah, you can have that one. It's like, shit,
give me
that
one that is kicking fire at people. I need that right now.
Yeah, dude, just kick Charizard in the face. Charizard was like, guy. It's just massively disrespected Charizard. I'll take that one. Yeah.
It is like a different set of Pokemon skills. You see punching and firing and shooting. And then Blaziken just comes in and is like, feet only. Fwapa! Like, it's more embarrassing when someone handles you with your feet. So, okay, that's good. I approve. I approve. Okay, this is good. I feel like we've learned a lot here, Jake. What, any broad-scale Pokemon, anime, games, any thoughts you feel like you would be doing a disservice to our fans leaving out before we wrap up?
Recommendations.
Austin's recommendation. Austin's friends with Wolf Glick. I know Austin's friend. That's they were like, a friend of Austin's from college knows Wolf or something like that. You know who Wolf Glick is?
I know who he is. I'm all
he's
over
like a
social
world
media.
Pokemon player. He's got like a pretty big YouTube channel as well.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. He's good. He if you're into competitive Pokemon, he makes it much more approachable for people that are like maybe starting is a good way to put it.
All right.
That's exciting. And he's just really good. He's just really good. Did you guys talk like a ton of Pokemon out there then, it sounds like, on the island?
Yeah, we definitely did, because as soon as Austin said he like knew Wolf, I was like, I knew who he was immediately.
Yeah.
And like also too, like Drew and I would talk a fair bit about Pokemon as well. Like I said, hey, like something that I was doing in the Sword and Shield era is that I was using Heliolisk and Golurk because they're just two of my favorite Pokemon.
Ooh.
Like, I like them a lot.
Good picks.
And they kind of worked off each other pretty well because, like, one's ghost, one's normal, one's ground, one's electric. Like, so it's
so
normal, electric,
immunities.
Ground, and ghost.
Immunities, yeah.
Yeah, so they got immunities, right? So something that I do is I do Heliolisk gets this move called Electrify, which, you know, anyone trying to take down Golurk, I just, like, you know, Heliolisk is pretty fast. I used to use Electrify on any negative incoming moves to Golurk, and it would absolutely be immune.
That's pretty tricky, Jake. That's good.
That
So Drew like went home and he's like, all right, here's how I think you can like optimize that Heliolisk goal. And I was like, yeah, dude. Because he's like, he did competitive Pokemon.
I love
as well.
It. Awesome. I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah. I mean, there's been two mentions on Survivor. There was even a mention of Pokemon on Love is Blind. I just think what's really interesting to me is the cultural swing the pendulum has taken back. It was huge when we were children. And then I don't want to say it died, but like mainstream popularity of Pokemon was really low for a number of years. And something about the last 4 or 5 years, Pokemon has made a huge comeback. It was something about the Pokemon cards again.
Hillary Clinton.
Maybe that it was Hillary Clinton.
And Herman Cain.
Hillary Clinton.
Herman Cain and Hillary Clinton made Pokemon cool again.
Push.
Who was Logan Paul's doing that, right?
I was going to say, I think it was Logan Paul, actually, that started the Pokemon card fad again. And I think that really made people be like, yeah, I've been into Pokemon my whole life. What about it?
Then I'd say the Switch, too. I feel like the Switch as a system was really beneficial to Pokemon
I think you're
overall.
Right.
Because that, like...
I saw a graphic where it was
portability.
Like... Sword and Shield was like the third highest Pokemon selling game of all time. And I was like, whoa. I was like, I had no idea that it was so popular.
Yeah, it makes sense because, like, does the story suck? Are we going to enjoy it? No. Pokemon games back in the day, like, I know, like, I'm 27 now, and I'm not, like, a fourth grader trying to figure out how to beat, like...
The puzzles.
You know, a
and
dragon
the,
type. Yeah. But, like, the competitive is much more accessible now.
Agreed.
Based on the different things in the game. And I think there's... The skill cap that's accessible is much... more attainable that, you know, probably an older audience looks for versus back in the day. Like if you're
so
playing like
hard to...
Gold, Silver, Ruby, Sapphire, you got to put in what? Like how many hours you got to put to get one competitive
even, I was going to say, even just to beat the game, you're looking at like between like 40, 50 hours. And then to get competitive Pokemon on top of that, you're putting in way more time. So you're 100% right. The grinding isn't as needed, which makes it easier to play competitively against your friends. Well, are you a shiny hunter? Are you big into like trying to find shinies?
You know what? I have tried to catch shinies in the past, but I've never like...
Jake, I have no success with it.
I have no success. Literally, I put at least... Because I told you Golurk is one of my favorite Pokemon.
Yeah.
I think shiny Golurk is amazing.
Yeah.
It has one of the best shiny designs. I spent over 50 hours looking for shiny Golurk.
Nothing.
In Sword and Shield, and I couldn't do it. Like, I did all the things. Like, I got the shiny charm.
They
I did this.
Tell
I
you
did
to
that.
Do all that.
Like, I was on the websites. Okay, I got to do this, and then I got to have so many interactions.
And I'm saving.
Nothing.
And
I'm just like, whatever, dude.
Mine was Pokemon Legend Arceus. I had friends that were catching multiple shiny Pokemon a day, and they taught me how to do it, and I didn't even run into any. I was like, what the fuck is going on? It was, like, really discouraging, if I'm being honest. So that's why I always ask people. Some people are like, yeah, I catch a shiny Pokemon. I catch, like, six every week.
You
and I'm like, I haven't
one.
Seen a shiny. Yeah, I'm not the chosen one like Ash. The world will not turn to Alex.
We'll turn to Alex.
It will. Or no, it won't.
Not for shiny Pokemon.
Not
for
shiny
other
Pokemon, though. Oh, okay. This is good. This is fun. Jake, Evan, do you have any big news? We're coming up here on time. I forgot about
nothing
news.
Nothing huge. There's a couple. There's one I want to touch on because it is directly related to what we covered today. As of January 26th, The Boy and the Heron surpassed Pokemon the Movie 2000 to become the third highest grossing anime ever released in the U.S. So it follows. Number one is Pokemon the First Movie. That's not surprising. And two is Demon Slayer Mugen Train. And that's one
which
I haven't
is pretty
seen.
Good.
And so that would put Boy and the Heron at 3 and 4 with Pokemon the Movie 2000.
Wait, is this like not Disney? Is it like not
anime
Disney
movies?
List?
Anime.
Specifically.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, Japanese. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Makes sense,
and,
yeah.
And sort of related, these are two headlines I saw recently. Three of the top streamed shows on Max in January were animated shows. They were Scavenger's Reign, My Adventures with Superman, Adventure Time, Fiona Cake. And also the 7 most streamed films last year were all animated. I think Mario, Elemental, Frozen 2, a couple other ones. But just speaking to the power of animation, why we love this podcast in a time where animation departments are sort of getting hollowed out and underfunded from the studio machine. And then there was one you sent me, Alex. I don't know if you recall. there is a live-action Bob the Builder movie in the works with Mattel, with Jennifer Lopez. It gets weirder. Jennifer Lopez as an executive producer.
She's the producer.
Starring Anthony Ramos? Is that his?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really weird. Can't wait to see what that's going to look like. I remember screaming at the TV. Bob's like, "Can we fix it?" And everyone would be like, "No, we can't." And he'd be like, "Yeah, let's go." And you're like, "You dummy, you didn't even hear what I said."
Well, you weren't even in Jennifer Lopez's house, so like, you know, you don't know.
Yeah. I just want to know where Bob was on January 6th.
Yeah, right.
There's got to be like some depressed, like you, one of those photos of like Ben Affleck being like, you know, that's definitely like his face. What was his face when Jennifer Lopez came home and said, "Ben, you're not going to believe it. Guess what we're working on now?
Movie.
She certainly got so good. A career. It's an interesting career path. I don't know.
That's funny.
Those are two.
Mine is not animated news. I'm going to call it animated adjacent. Elmo had quite the week in pop culture. He asked how everyone was doing on Twitter and got trauma dumped. Everyone's horrible, horrible life experiences going on at the moment. And if that wasn't bad enough, the day before Elmo's birthday, he got attacked by Larry David on a Good Morning show. Larry David said he couldn't listen to him going on anymore.
If that's not the serious finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm, that's the biggest mistake. This better be a stunt. Because it's so good.
Jake, you're on the same wavelength as me. I said this was the best advertising Larry David could do for his new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Because
that is the most Larry thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm not going to lie. I've watched the clip maybe like 100 times already. It is so funny to me. And then I hate being this guy. You see some people that are like, "It's not funny that Larry attacked Elmo." It is funny. It's funny. I'm sorry.
It's funny.
He's a puppet. If he was attacking a person, no, that's not funny. But it was just Elmo, guys. Elmo wasn't even mad. Relax.
Oh my God. Could you just like imagine like them just using actual footage of people on the internet being like, "Larry David attacks a children's puppet." It's a puppet. Who cares? Everyone knows it's fake.
It's so
the children don't
funny
know, Larry.
But
the children didn't know.
Yeah. The children don't know. And then he literally...
The children know. They know.
And then it was literally Elmo's birthday, like the next day. But here's the kicker. They announced Elmo on his birthday was 3.5, which by my calculations means that's a half birthday. Not your actual birthday if you're turning 3.5. So, yeah, quite the week for Elmo. That's all the news I got,
Larry David.
And Larry David.
I'm
a big Larry David guy.
I mean, I don't... What was this, New York? I mean, I don't practice law in New York, but like...
call up
in
Jake.
Massachusetts, that would be an assault and battery on a child. if Elmo counts as a child, which considering his age,
I think he does, yeah. So...
He might.
That's why they posted it. They're like, get his age out there. Hurry. For the suit.
Elmo, as soon as Elmo goes to the public domain, someone needs to make a movie or a documentary about Elmo suing Larry David.
Oh my God. Wait, they need to make that movie right now. I hope Larry David is on that project. Like, how do we get a movie of Elmo suing Larry David? It'll be the comedy hit of the century. Oh my God.
Oh my God, it would be so good. It would be like so good if you could get the IP to Elmo. And like,
I can just picture Elmo being like, "Yeah, okay, Elmo's in."
Talking head of Big
this
Bird.
This is a puppet. Ted Danson
Everyone
comes in.
Everyone loved Elmo.
Larry, why would you strangle Elmo?
Can't believe you did that to Elmo, Larry.
It was so
unexpected. What is Jeff Garlin's wife's
Susie.
Larry, you fucking asshole.
You fucking what's asshole. Fucking Elmo's asshole. A national treasure, Larry.
Larry, what the fuck are you?
Everyone hates you and everyone loves Elmo. And look
what you
did. Yeah.
You're a scumbag, Larry David.
It's too good. I knew I had to bring it up. It's the funniest thing that's happened.
It's so good.
It's so funny.
It's got to be in the final season,
I hope
right?
so.
But it's got to be in the final season.
Sure. I hope so badly. It's
I think
so
he said
good.
As much, right?
I don't know. He did
really?
Apologize, kind of. He kind of apologized.
Well, did he Larry David apologize?
Yeah, he Larry
so
David.
Not apologize.
You know, he was talking.
You know,
it's a puppet.
Because
I saw the hand.
Two quick things.
Basically, I shook some man's hands. Everyone's freaking out.
You know. Oh, that is good. Okay, that's all I have. Evan, do you have anything?
real quick, Jim Carrey will reprise his role as Dr. Robotnik in Sonic the Hedgehog 3. I think this is news because he had announced his retirement, and we weren't sure if he was going to come back.
Yes.
Shadow the Hedgehog will be in it.
It's important
well.
To the franchise, if I'm being honest.
Yep.
Yeah, yes. I'm really glad.
That's like the best Jim Carrey thing Jim Carrey's done.
I love
his most
it.
Jim Carrey in role time. In a long time.
It's so fun, and he looks like he's enjoying himself, which I love.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have movies.
They definitely call him and like, hey, be Jim Carrey.
They're like, we don't like, really have too many lines. This is kind of what the plot's about. Okay, I'm on it. Yeah.
And then personally,
I love
for
it.
Alex and I, this is big news. Donald Glover confirms the Community movie script is done, and he's all in. His involvement has been speculated
in.
Whether he would be in or not, rejoining the cast, and looks like he's in. So I'm very excited
I'm
about
in.
That.
I am too.
Yeah, that's all I got for news.
That's me too. Jake, before I like wrap us up here, first off, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah,
this was so much
this
fun.
This was a ton of fun.
This was a blast. Thank you for watching this movie. Sorry it did not meet your expectations, but I'm glad we were able to talk about it with you. You got a lot going on. Where can people follow you on social media? Are you're streaming on Twitch right now too, right?
Yeah, I'm streaming on Twitch. You can find me on Twitch as Jake Wocaine. And then on Twitter or Instagram, you can get me at Jake_Kane. You know, Molo, I'm out
there.
Yeah,
we'll
that's how we found Jake on Twitter, just tweeting about animated stuff. And I was like, dude, we need you. So he's got good tweets. Go follow him. And, a good Twitch stream to follow, too. So love it. I love I noticed it like halfway through and it wasn't an appropriate time to bring it up. But the torch in your background, you're definitely a fire trainer. I can't believe I missed that. You're just such a fire gym leader now. I'm so proud. I love it. Okay. Okay. I'm going to wrap us up. Jake, anything else you want to say before I do it here?
On to Pokemon the Third.
Yeah, that's right. Woo! Yeah, on to bigger and better things. On to unknown things.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I see what I did there. All right. If you enjoyed this episode, please go find more of our episodes. You can check them out. We have a huge backlog all on Apple, Spotify, and on YouTube as well. You can follow us at Two Dudes Watch Cartoons on Instagram and TikTok. And wherever you're watching, please don't forget to rate, review, leave a like. Share it with someone. 2024 is the year of growth. We had a really, really good 2023, so we're hoping to follow it up here. And just once again, super thankful that you came on, Jake. Just kind of shat the shit with us. No, that sounded weird. I didn't like that. Sorry.
That's
retract
our new slogan.
It. No. That was bad. Hated it. Hated it as soon as I said it. Thanks for coming and hanging out with us like a normal person would say. And thank you again for everyone listening.
That'll do it for this episode of Two Dudes Watch Cartoons. We will catch you next time.
Two Dudes Watch Cartoons.